So this morning, as we really, we played the Advent bumper video, but as I really prayed about what I felt like God wanted me to talk about this morning, I began to think kind of stepping out of Christmas, stepping out of Advent, moving into a new year. You know, this is that kind of that transitional week, is the last week of the year, and you're beginning to kind of look backwards and forwards at the same time, and you're looking at, you know, what's happened so far, you know, or really what's happened for this whole year coming up. And there's something kind of special about a brand new start, right? You kind of say, well, I'm going to be different this year. We all start to make, you know, resolutions and things like that. As a matter of fact, I saw this morning, I was drinking my coffee. They've already started with the health club memberships. Have you seen these? $1, $10 a month. What a deal. Except half people won't show up after they pay, will they? That's what they're counting on. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of that new year. And so it's just kind of fun, that transition. Now, one of the things that as you kind of move from Christmas into the new year, maybe some of you like to spend some time with family and continue to do that, and maybe see Star Wars. How many of you have seen the movie Star Wars? A few of you? Okay. All right. If you haven't seen it, then you really don't need to. You can just watch commercials on television. They'll figure it out for you. But as I thought about this idea of kind of moving into the new year and a fresh start, maybe there are times where we just think, man, this year I want to be a different person. I want to have a different identity. I want people to see me differently. And as I begin to think about this idea of when it comes to the new year, sometimes maybe even think, man, I wish I just could be given a different name. I could just be different. Somebody that is totally different. And so as I thought about this idea of names, I'm reminded of a story, and I may have shared this in passing with some of you. Every Christmas I'm reminded of the fact that names matter and getting them right. And so my daughter, who just turned 22 this past week, she came home. She was a Christmas baby, but before she came home, we had a tough delivery. It wasn't me that had a tough delivery. My wife had a tough delivery, and so when the nurse came in and said, you know, what do you want to name your daughter? And it'd just been tough, and we thought we were having a boy, and then suddenly we had a girl, and so I just blurted out, Aaron. A-A-R-O-N. And the nurse is like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I mean, Aaron, I mean, that's exactly the way we want to spell it. And I was later, as we were thinking about it, my wife, when she came to her senses, she's like, you did what? You named our daughter after Aaron Rental? I mean, really? So fortunately, we had time before the courts, you know, kind of processed everything to get that straightened out. But we have an ornament that we see every year, and it has A-A-R-O-N as her very first ornament. And so I'm reminded that matters, names do matter, and that dad sometimes can make a big mistake. But listen, when it comes to this idea of the new year and we begin to think about looking ahead, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just begin to think about, man, what can I do different this year? What can I change about who I am? And so this morning, what I'd like to do is kind of transition into this idea of what does the Bible have to say about who we are? Because sometimes we get caught up in this idea that, I don't know about you, but maybe there are names that you never would say out loud, but we all many times kind of give ourselves labels, don't we? We name or put ourselves into a box of what and how we think that we view ourselves, and really what and think how other people view us. And so I don't know about you, but for some of you, when you think about yourself, it's not in the best light. When you think about how you are viewed by others, I know for me there are times when I begin to hear those voices in my head that always sounds like me and telling me things that aren't true about who I am. And especially as I look back over a year and I think, man, I made some mistakes this year. I messed up some relationships this year. I did some good things. But for the most part, I look back and there's things that I would like to change. But maybe you're like me and you begin to, when it comes to labeling yourself, you begin to say things like, I'm just not a good person. I'm not somebody who is successful. When I look in the mirror, or maybe when you look in the mirror, you say, I'm not a good mom. I'm not a good dad. I'm not a good Christian. I'm not a good follower of Christ. You see, the reality is that so many times the Bible talks about the fact that when it comes to our faith in Christ, it is a matter of being spiritual. It is a matter of a spiritual change. But the Bible talks so many times about a renewal of our mind. And listen, for me and for you, as we go into this new year, stepping out of a Christmas season where it talks about all that God has done for us, and we go into this new year, for me to really change the way I live my life, for you to really change the way you live your life that is lasting, really, I have to change the way I think. I have to have right thinking about my relationship with God, right thinking about my relationship with others. And so as we look at that and we think about names, many times, think about the fact that when somebody named you as a child, was there meaning behind that? Was it maybe a special family member? Was it, like for me, I mean, I was named after my father. I'm a junior. And so, you know, that has its advantages and disadvantages. And so maybe for you, you were named after an aunt. Maybe for some of you, you were just named like our children. We just opened up a baby book and found some names that we liked, and there was some attachment in there, but for the most part, they were just names that didn't have a lot of meaning. But here's what I want you to get, is that when you were born into your family, or maybe you were adopted, and you either took on somebody's last name, but ultimately when somebody took the time to name you, to put the thought into what you would be known in this world as, what they're really saying is that you matter. They're putting a stake in the ground and saying, this is somebody who is a part of my family. Matter of fact, there's a picture of a stake that's going to pop up, and I just want to give you a visual. I remember when we built our house and we had our property and we were getting ready, and I know some of you might be going through that now. It was something so exciting about the fact that when you drive that first stake in the ground and maybe you see your name on there for the very first time and you say, this is our property. This is where we are going to come and invest our lives. This is where we're going to build and relationships will be formed. You know, when as a child your parents named you, what they said was, this is our child. They're part of our family. We love them. And so names are important. What someone calls you and what you're known as is important. But so many times, like I said, we can begin to have a wrong view of who we are. It doesn't matter that I'm called Ron or Ronnie to some, but how I view myself in light of my surroundings and my Heavenly Father and all those things begin to change the way I live my life and how I view my part in what God is doing. And so an interesting passage this morning as we head into the new year, thinking about change, thinking about who we are as followers of Christ, or maybe who you are today as someone who is seeking God, or even collectively as a church body, thinking about us moving into the new year, I want you to think about this particular person in the Bible, which he was always known as, and when it's preached on, I think it's interesting, known as blind Bartimaeus. How'd you like to be known as blind Bartimaeus? I mean, every time anybody talks about it, not just Bartimaeus, but blind Bartimaeus. Now, we all do this, don't we? I don't know about you, but if you have any neighbors and you don't know their names, don't you begin to attach something to them? Like, we had No Shirt Man. I mean, a man never wore a shirt. I don't care if it was 10 below zero. He was going to be in the yard with no shirt. We had Headband Man. He wore a headband. I mean, it didn't matter if he had a suit on. He had a headband on. I don't understand it. But maybe just like that, we label someone because we don't necessarily know everything about them, but we get to see a glimpse into the life of blind Bartimaeus. And here's what I want to get from me and you today is that the Bible gives us, regardless of what we think about ourselves, the Bible tells us what our names are. It tells us how God sees us. And here's what I want you to consider this morning. That if what I think about who I am and how I've labeled myself and the name that I have given myself, and looking back and thinking all the mistakes and all the things that are there, if it doesn't line up with what God says about me, here's what I want you to consider, that it's a lie. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, it doesn't matter if it feels right to me, it doesn't matter if it even feels true, if it doesn't line up, then listen, the only way I'm ever going to truly be able to change, to do something different, not just trying harder, it's when I begin to think differently. I begin to believe differently about who I am in Christ, who my identity is in Christ. You know, sometimes we all want to just put on a mask and we want to just be different people. Would it be great if you could just put something on your face and suddenly you just look different? Well, listen, let me just share something with you from last night. We had a Sunday school party. I just want to show you a few pictures that popped up here. This is Jessica. And these are coasters that hang on your nose, by the way. This is Gary. Yep, pouting. Johnny. Yep. Oh, Benny. We knew Benny's going to get those teeth fixed eventually. Yep, and then there's Aaron. Yep, oh, got that. Now, here's the one that really disturbs me coming up. This is the one that actually looks a little normal. It's good to have a little fun, but the reality is that wouldn't it just be nice if we could put something up like that and our identity would change? You know, there's lots of name changes in the Bible. And typically when God changes a name, for the most part, it's because something has happened significant in their life. God wants to demonstrate something in the life of that person. So He changes their name from one thing to the next so that, listen, here's what's kind of cool, is that even though they themselves in the moment may not even acknowledge or believe that what God is saying about them is true, God knows it to be true. He has confidence in the fact that what they're going to do is going to happen. For example, let me give you just a few. Jacob, the brother of Esau, who we know is the one who stole Esau's birthright and was deceptive. And, you know, his name was known as the one who tricks. And then we read in Genesis 32, 22 through 32, the story, an amazing story, about Jacob wrestling with God all night long as he's preparing to meet his brother. And he wrestles with this figure in the night. And he just won't let go of him. And then finally he says, I won't let go until you bless me, until you tell me your name. And in that moment, this representation of God wrestling with him turns to him and says, listen, I'm going to change your name from the one who tricks to Israel, to the one who is to be saved by God. The nation of Israel, we think of him as a nation, but Israel was a person that ultimately through him, the Messiah would come. Through him, salvation would come. And so, listen, here's a guy who's deceptive, but God looks and he says, I'm changing your name because of that. Abram to Abraham. Abraham had no children, but God makes a covenant with him and says, you're going to be a father of many. Sarai to Sarah, the same thing. From a mother who is barren to a mother of nations is what it says. God looking into her future and saying, this is who you are. You see, names matter. And then we know, of course, many of us know the story of Simon. And Jesus meeting him in John chapter 1 verse 42 looks into the life of Peter, or Simon at that point. And here's what he says. He says, Simon, you will be known as Peter, or Petra, known as the rock, speaking truth into the life of Peter to say, upon this rock I will build my church. You see, when God speaks the truth about who we are, it doesn't matter that Peter didn't understand that. It doesn't matter that Peter didn't line up. It doesn't matter today that maybe you believe something different about yourself. What I hope today for me and for you is that we understand as we go into this new year, maybe thinking about doing things differently, that we start today with a heart change, with a better understanding of how does God see me and you, you and I. What are the names that God has given us? What are the names by which we wake up every single day and step into life that we can celebrate and understand. Well, blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, has an encounter with Jesus. And there's some interesting things about this passage that I want us to look at today that I think that can apply so greatly to my life and your life today. Let's read together Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, as we talk about somebody labeled blind. It says, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city." Let's pause right there for a second. A large crowd is coming out of the city of Jericho, way up. Jericho's really high. And everybody's kind of heading to Jerusalem, because what we understand here in this passage is Jesus is getting ready to go to the Passover. He's getting ready about a week out from the time by which he will be crucified, that he will be put on the cross. And so there's a large crowd of people preparing to go, and so they're with Jesus. And it says, "As they were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging." You see, being blind, obviously he couldn't have any kind of job, and so he just had to rely on the kindness of strangers. He'd wrap himself up and he'd sit outside the city and just beg and rely on the kindness and the mercy of those that were coming by. And it says in 47, "When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him." You see, he begins to hear the hustle and bustle of the crowd and begin to hear the whisper that Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Jesus of Nazareth is coming. He begins to yell out, not "Jesus of Nazareth." Listen, I want you to get this. He says, "Jesus, Son of David." A messianic reference to the fact that Jesus would be the Messiah. And what does he cry out? He doesn't say, "Hey, make me, heal me." He says, "Have mercy on me." You see, here's a blind man sitting on the side of the road, but can see so clearly who Jesus is. He understands in the moment God revealing that this is the Messiah, the one that has been promised that would come as the Son of David. And it says that Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Jesus stopped in the hustle and bustle of what was going on, and so they called the blind man. And they said, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And then it says that he threw his cloak aside. Listen, that cloak was a valuable thing. It's what he owned, it's what he wrapped in, it's what he was there. And what does he see in the excitement? He lays down probably his most valuable thing and jumps to his feet, and he heads to the feet and came to Jesus. And here's what Jesus says. I love this. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's pretty obvious that he's blind, right? I mean, wouldn't it just be clear that Jesus would know? But see, Jesus is asking the question of really what he wants. And he says, "The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus. 'Your faith has healed you.'" And it says, "Immediately he received his sight." You see, a blind man on the side of the road could see clearly and understand clearly and mentally makes the connection that here comes the Messiah. And if I'm going to be saved, if I'm going to receive my sight, then I have to speak out and ask for God to have mercy on me. And throwing away his beggar's clothes, he runs to Jesus with full faith of the fact that Jesus is going to heal him. You see, Bartimaeus' name didn't get changed in the moment. They didn't start calling him something else, like maybe Abram to Abraham or Simon to Peter. But instantly what began to happen, what do you think happened to Bartimaeus? His identity changed in the moment, didn't it? He went from blind Bartimaeus to healed Bartimaeus. As he went around the city, they probably for a time talked about, "Isn't this the guy who was blind?" But ultimately, he began to just be known as Bartimaeus, the one who Jesus had healed. His identity in the moment changed and it changed his life forever. See, the reality is that when I accept Christ into my life, when I, just like blind Bartimaeus, am blind in my sin and blind to the fact that I need God and blind in all areas of my life, and suddenly I realize for the very first time that Jesus is the one, that He's the one that can save me. He's the Son of David. And we cry out in that moment, however you said it, help me, save me, have mercy on me. But each of us in that moment, there's a moment in time where we stepped out of darkness, blindness, and into light. And our identity changed in that moment. We went from someone separated from God to what the Bible says is a saint. We went from that which was smelly, nasty, to what the Bible says, a new creation in Christ. So we step into our identity, into a relationship with God. And here's what I want you to know, is that God has given you and I a name as well. Now you might know these. You might have read them. You might have realized them. But listen, today as we head into this new year and we begin to think, hey, how can I do better this year? How can I be a better person? How can I be a better Christian? How can I be a better mom? How can I be a better dad? And sometimes we want to get back on the treadmill of trying. And listen, we can do okay for a little while, but ultimately what we need to understand is that our identity, what we believe about ourselves, will ultimately allow us to be successful in the Christian life. And let me just tell you something. Until you realize that you can't live the Christian life, you won't be able to live the Christian life. Because it is only in a life of surrender. And how does that surrender come? It's when I begin to truly understand who I am in Christ. Not just someone saved by grace, although we are. But ultimately, we have a Heavenly Father who wants us to understand how wonderful we are. How much He paid for us. How much He loves us. Listen, we just came through a season of where Jesus came. And He took on flesh, and ultimately we see now He's headed to the cross to fulfill. What greater love can one have than to lay one's life down for another is what the Bible says. And ultimately, so many times, I'm just telling you, we end up like blind Bartimaeus all over again. We receive our sight, we cry out to God, and then we go back and we sit again down, we put the cloak around us, and we lose sight of the grace by which God has given us. We begin to box ourselves in all again, and we say, God, listen, I know You love me and I know You saved me, but now it's up to me now. How much You love me is now based on what I do for You and how much listen, I'm just going to tell you something. That is not how God sees you. God sees you as someone who is a precious thing. What does God call us? What does God call you? God calls us children of God. We're a child of God. You are a child of God. If you have accepted Christ, the moment that you received your sight, you stepped into the family of God. You see, a few minutes ago, we talked about the fact when someone names you, what does it do? It says that you matter. It says that you're important. It gives you value. It's not based on anything that you bring to the table or I bring to the table. It's all in what God says. Listen, what does it say? It says that we are born again, right? When we are born into a family, immediately when the baby takes its first breath, guess what? It becomes a part of that family. There's nothing that that child does on its own. It's no different when we step into God's family. We, as a beggar on the side of the road, say, Jesus, Son of David. Let me see. Let me come out of my darkness. 1 John 3:1, here's what it says. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called. What does it say? Children of God. Now turn to your neighbor and say, man, I'm a king's kid. I am a king's kid. I have a Heavenly Father that loves me. Cares. Man, some of you here today just need to hear that. You have a Heavenly Father that wants nothing more than the very best for you. And here's what he goes on. He says, and that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know Him. That's your name. Child of God. What else does he say? This is so amazing. I want you to get this. Is that we are also not just children of God, not just in a role of like parent, but ultimately God wants us to be, and He wants to be, our friend. Man, some of us just need a friend, don't we? There are so many lonely people in this world. You can be in the biggest crowd in the world and everybody can be lonely. Listen, one of the loneliest places can be a church. But here's what I want you to know, is that you have a Heavenly Father, but ultimately that Heavenly Father wants you to know something. In John chapter 15, verse 15, He says, I no longer call you servants. Jesus talking to His disciples as He's preparing to go to the cross, He's telling them, listen, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You see, God, Jesus wants them to understand. He wants us to understand that when we step into the relationship with God, it's not a servant-master relationship, although we are called to follow Him. But think about it for a second. If you are a servant and you have a master, then ultimately we begin to view God as somebody that we're just trying to do just enough to stay off His radar, right? We don't look at Him as somebody that we can crawl up in His lap and really pour out our heart to. We look at a servant-master relationship where we're just going to do enough so that the master is happy with us. But God says, listen, no. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Jesus, looking to His disciples, saying, listen, I know I've been teaching you these 3 years, but I want you to know something. Everything the Father has made known to me, I am making known to you because you are my friend. You're somebody that is close, personal, intimate. God wants us to know that we're called His child, but we're also called His friend. The Bible talks about that we are elevated into heavenly places, that because of Jesus, we have the ability not to go through a priest, not to go and pray to some fogged up window in the part of town. Have you seen this? Mary's formed somewhere in some fogged up window and now everybody's praying to her? No. Jesus said, listen, I come as your friend. And because of this, because of the relationship that we have, listen, this is what we are known as. We are known as followers of God. Christians. Here's what Acts 11:26, the writer Luke says. He says, and we found Him. He brought him to Antioch, and it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You see, they were called the Way to begin with. But Christians was a derogatory term. For some, you might say it's become that again. But then little Christ, these ones that were going out and doing and saying and living the life that Christ had done, this life of sacrifice, this life of worshiping God in a different way, this life of not looking to the law to try to please God, but ultimately realizing that they were no longer blind, that the light was there. And so they became known as followers of Christ or Christians. And ultimately, in 1 Peter 4:16, it talks about, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. You see, ultimately, as we understand who we are, we understand our relationship with God, we understand that we have stepped into the light, then now I can step out every single day and I can quit trying to worry so hard about trying to please my Heavenly Father and trying to gain His acceptance, because He's already said, you are my child and you are my friend because of what Jesus has done. I'm asking you to go and to live the life and not be ashamed of being a follower of Christ. Not be ashamed to say, I'm a Christian. Living a life that leads up to that. And then ultimately, Jesus giving us one of the greatest things that we can be called. Because it says that we are not just in name calling ourselves a follower of Christ, but we are truly following. And what does he say? He calls us disciples. Following another. In Mark 1:17, here's what Jesus says. He says, "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus says, listen, if you are part of my family, if you are my friend, then ultimately what you're going to begin to do is you're going to begin to follow me. The true mark of someone who is a Christian is one who is saying, listen, I'm living my life the way Christ would want me to do it. In Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20, most of us know this, but it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, so many times, I know for me, I'm just going to imagine for you, is that when I think about my Christian life, I begin to paint a picture of the fact that now that I'm saved, I've got to go and just try to do all these things so that I can measure up somehow. And listen, there's no doubt that we've been called to a life of service. But what's so interesting is that right before this happens if with blind Bartimaeus, the disciples come up to Jesus and they're like, listen, we have a request. We want to sit at your right and your left, and we want to be great in your kingdom. And Jesus says, listen, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you need to serve others. But here's what I want you to get, is that when it comes to truly being a follower of Christ, we want to be disciples. Discipleship. Followers. And the way that happens, and even as we head into this new year, is that if I begin to truly understand what God has done for me, that I, as the blind man on the side of the road, realizing that God has already given me my sight, and I take the cloak back off and I say, God, I'm never going to be perfect, but we have a Savior who is, and He has come by, and He has given me my sight. You see, at the very end of blind Bartimaeus, what does it say? It says, as soon as he received his sight, did he go back and sit down? What does it say? He began to follow Jesus. But we're never going to get it perfect, are we? And you know what? God understands. It's why Jesus' grace had to be applied to my life and to your life. You see, what can happen then is if as we live our life and we look back over this year and you say, man, I've just done too many things, and I begin to label myself again, loser, no good, bad mom, bad dad, bad Christian, I begin to say to myself, well, I can't do anything in the new year. Well, I'm just going to try harder. I'm just going to do. And listen, your best thinking has gotten you to the point that you are today. Why not try thinking differently, believing differently about who you are and what God has planned for you? Don't be blind Bartimaeus. Because you're not. You are Bartimaeus, saved by Jesus, and now going to have the testimony to share about what God has done in your life. And so as we look at this new year coming up, listen, here's a few takeaway thoughts that I want you to take with you. As you begin to look to this new year, as you begin to think about the things that we've talked about, maybe the things that you'd like to accomplish in this new year, I want you to think about the image of this stake right here. There was a point in time where God nailed a stake in your life. You're a part of my family. You're my child. You've been forgiven. You've been empowered to the power of the Holy Spirit to go and to to be a follower of mine, to do amazing things. But the takeaway for this coming year, listen, before you make a list of to-dos, first put together a list of to-bes. You see, understanding who we are helps us understand what we should do. Truly beginning to celebrate what God has done in our life will change the fact that we feel like we are unworthy, that God cannot use us in this coming year. The things that we ourselves keep dragging along, which is blinding us to all that God can do, Jesus is saying, listen, let them go. Step into the freedom by which Christ has given us in our life. And the last thing would be this, because listen, if like I said at the beginning, if what we believe about ourselves doesn't line up with God's Word, then we have to say that what I believe is a lie. It's not true. It's true as it feels. As good as it feels to feel that way sometimes. If I step into the light and the truth of what God has said about me, and so we need to hide God's Word in our heart so that the truth of who we are will help us to live and to serve and to love and to have the freedom by which we can receive the love of God the way that He intended for us to receive it. Not as a beaten down, lowly servant, but as someone that God loves with all His heart, who's cheering for, who is rooting for to make the right choices, who cheers when we make the right choices and then cries with us as we go through the hard times, and ultimately when He needs to, He reprimands us in the moment to try to always having the best for us because we are a child of His. We are part of His family. We are His friend. And ultimately, what does that lead to? It leads to us just saying, God, I trust You because I can't do it. I can't live this life under my own power. So God, I'm just going to trust that You are so glad that I'm a part of Your family. And I'm just going to take a step forward into this new year saying, God, I'm trusting You. God, I'm open for whatever it is that You've got for me. God, whether it's to serve somewhere in the church that I would never have expected. God, to open up my mind to the fact that, God, You're trying to reach this community and it's not all about me. God, opening up outside the little box that I've put myself into that keeps me blinded to the big picture of what it is that You're trying to accomplish in my own life and in the life of this church. So we're going to move into a time of invitation, a time of decision. Aaron's going to be playing a song, Just As I Am. And as you listen to the music, just let it flood over your heart about just who you really are in Christ. If you don't know Jesus today in a personal way, then let me just tell you, I'll be right down here. I would love to begin a conversation with you, to pray. You need to spend some time down here at the front, just praying for the new year, praying for some things and the struggle that you have in your heart between your belief of who you are, the name you've given yourself, and the names that God says is true in your life. Whatever it is that God is doing, just open up your heart to Him today. Let me pray, and then that'll be your opportunity to move. Father, we thank You for this time. God, just thank You that, God, that You identify who we are so that we can go back to that stake in the ground and we can say, I don't feel this way, but God, this is who You say I am. And I trust You. I trust Your Word. Not my belief, but what my belief is in Your Word. So God, we thank You that we are Your children, that You love us greatly. We thank You that You call us friend. And God, I pray for us that we will begin, God, to become Your disciples, to begin to live our lives in a way that looks just like Jesus. We thank you for loving us. Pray for each person here, God, that you do something. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.